Regret is doing exactly what you needed to do to become the thing you needed to become. The future harvest that we experience is the sum total of the mistakes we've used in the past. And if you have no mistakes, you have no lessons.
What if you could build a business in the modern world as big or as small as you want without having to compromise the things that were the most important to you in the very beginning? This is the Wealthy Consultant Talks podcast with Taylor Welch and Mike Walker, as they share with you today their learning lessons from stories and their experiences over the past 10 to 15 years and share with you right here, right now. Let's get into it.
Many of you know that the last 6 to 12 months for me, actually longer than that, the 12 to 18 months for me has been a bit exhausting. There's businesses that have been reset and given away, and new businesses that started, and partnerships that have gone away, and there's all of this stuff. And when you go through times that challenge you, it's usually not about how challenging the time is as much as it is about how long that shit lasts. You know what I'm saying? Okay, like when I got COVID, because when COVID first came out, I was like, COVID's fake, it's not real. And then I got COVID, which changed my mind a little bit about it. And it wasn't that I was like, you know, I felt like I was going to die every day. It's that I had COVID for 35 days. And you're not used to being sick for this long. Think about it. The last couple of times you've been sick, it's usually like 3 days. You're kind of in and out. But man, by day like 22, I was like, yo, do I have cancer or something? Like, what's going on? And my mind is just like losing it. This is what I'm saying. It's the principle. It's not necessarily about how hard it is. It's about how long it is. Does this make sense?
Yeah, solid.
So I'm going through 15, 18 months of just like, this is just one thing that after another. And I'm sitting in our sunroom with my wife, Lindsay. And I say, I am just not in a great place. This is probably 4 months ago. I'm frustrated. And, you know, there's people that you can just complain to. They're going to love you no matter what. You always have to find those people. They're like, hey, it's going to be okay. You can talk to me about it. And so Lindsay's my wife. And so I'm like, this is stupid. I'm tired of everything. And I'm just complaining. I'm having a moment. I'm having a human moment. Okay. Stop judging me. Even right now, you're judging me. I'll get off my back for a second. I'm having a human moment. And I'm like, this is not what I signed up for. This is not what I want. And life is a bottomless pit in this lane. I'm just going off and off. Like, picture me, I'm a copywriter, and that skill set deployed against my wife because I want her to feel sorry for me. And I said, I don't even see the point anymore. I'll explain later what was happening at the time to cause me to believe this. Because there were very serious events that were taking place 4 months ago that I was like, I am exhausted. It's been taking too long. I said, I'm basically, my whole life is just like surviving through a concentration camp. And she looks at me and she goes, excuse me? What did you just say? You can laugh, but I know every single person on this call has had a experience where they're like, I'm embarrassed that I said that, you know. But what I did is I did not think, oh, I'm embarrassed for saying this. I said, my wife didn't hear what I said. That's why she said, excuse me. And so you have this opportunity. My wife is looking at me and it's like, you know, I could either recant what I just said, or I could double down on what I just said because she doesn't understand. And I said, did you hear me? My life is like the Holocaust.
Wow.
And she just looks at me and she's like, you know, maybe you should go study it and find out. And then she gets up and she walks out of the room. I'm left by myself. And, you know, thank God for a good wife. She's like, I'm not even going to meet you in the shithole that you've created for yourself. You have fun. I'm leaving because I don't want your energy.
Peace out.
And so She leaves, and I can see you guys all in the chat. You're like, oh, what an idiot. Yeah, true. I doubled down and I said, okay, well, I'm going to study it because I do feel this way. and this is how I feel. And there has never been anything more true or more untrue spoken in the history of words spoken than what I had said. And if you know people who have lived close proximity to this, like, you know, I feel like I owe the world an apology. You ever say something so stupid, you're just like, I feel like I should apologize. And people don't even know that I said it, but I feel so silly for saying something that is so untrue. Your words have power, by the way. And the things that you say matter a lot. They've done studies on this, that the sound never ends. It never dies. It just gets smaller and smaller in frequency. So through eternity, our words just bounce off of houses and walls and trees and bricks, and they reverberate through time. And so this is one of those lessons I had to learn of, like, keep your damn mouth shut. But have you ever thought of something? Have you ever thought of, have you ever gone through something? It's just, I want you to think about it right now, where you have, you've gone through a situation, you thought it was killing you in the moment, but you realized in hindsight that it wasn't as bad as it felt right then. If we let ourselves spend time in this, then we will turn embarrassing, traumatic, exhausting, fatiguing circumstances. We always have the ability to turn them into lessons. So we're going to dive in, and I'm just going to tell you guys a quick story. This particular piece is it's about a man whose name was Eddie Jaku. And when you study this, and I've studied a lot about World War II, you realize that Germany had this freakish ability to silo different places of the country. And so news wasn't necessarily spread around the right way. Sometimes we look at history and we think, you know, how did this happen and people didn't lose their mind? Well, certain people did lose their mind. They went to Belgium, or they went to France, or they escaped. But for most of the people in the middle, they just didn't know. There was this thing called media, and media had things kind of spun out. This is where public relations comes from today. I don't mean to go crazy psycho on you for a second, but propaganda was a thing that was kind of perfected at the time in Nazi Germany, and we took that and we renamed it into public relations. And I'm no offense against PR experts, it's just basically what it is propaganda, and the outcome of that propaganda basically determines whether you're, like, good or evil. And so Germany is reeling from World War I. There's no money. There's, like, rapid and wild inflation. People can't afford anything. So Eddie is coming up in this environment with his family. They are Jews, but they are German citizens. And it's so bad that he tells a story, actually, that when he turned 13, his dad asked, "What do you want for your 13th birthday?" And he said, "I would like 6 eggs, a loaf of white bread," which was hard to get because most of the bread in Germany at the time was rye bread, "and a pineapple," because he had never seen a real pineapple. So this is a poor family. We can all agree that this is a poor family. Maybe they have enough food to eat, but they're not, like, doing great things. You know, they're still struggling through. And everyone at the time was like this. And he was going to school to learn engineering. And one day he shows up to school and he was told that he could no longer attend school because he is a Jew. This is his first experience with racism in the country. And he got home and told his dad, and his dad said, "Hey, don't worry, you're going to continue your studies." His dad was very well connected. And so they were able to get Eddie false papers that got him into college. He was attending the epicenter of mechanical engineering classes. This is the holy grail for mechanical engineering in the world. Everything was invented in Germany at this time. And he attended. He had to go. It was like a 6-hour trip away, and he attended on false papers. So nobody knew he was a Jew. He was a German citizen attending, and he was doing very well. He had great friends that he developed. And one day, he decides that he's going to surprise his parents. Remember I told you that the country of Germany had silos in it and different news pieces didn't make it all the way? Well, he was living in a place, and the city doesn't matter where the college was. They did not have a lot of free-flowing information coming into the district. And so he didn't know what was happening. He didn't know about the regime, you know, the final solution or the attempt to round up all of the Jews. So he just was thinking it's a normal day. It's my parents' 20th wedding anniversary. And so he decided to go back home to visit his parents. So he got there, nobody's home. And he has no recollection of like why they weren't home. He just figured maybe they were out celebrating their anniversary. And so he falls asleep in the home that he grew up in. He's woken at 5 a.m. 10 Nazis come in. They beat him half to death. And they drag him away to one of the first concentration camps. This is not Auschwitz, but Eddie writes this down. He says that this was the worst mistake that he had ever made in his life. Because if he would not have gone home to visit his parents, he would have stayed in mechanical engineering school. And more than likely, nobody would have even inquired about it because he would have been what you call economically indispensable. Mm-hmm. So he would have survived the whole thing. And you can imagine the mental turmoil he goes through because he's like, if I just would have stayed in college, and this happens to us all the time, by the way, this is a piece of architecture that we're going to talk about in belief architecture, is the idea of regret. I wonder how many times he went through his head, like, what if I just would not have gone to visit my parents for the 20th anniversary? Who's thought that? I mean, like, what if I would not have done this? There was really, really a terrible situation I had to deal with in last year. And man, I thought about this every day for like 6 months. What if, I wish I would have just not done it. And we look back with the beauty of hindsight, everything is 2020 when you're looking backwards. And we penalized ourselves for something we never would have even known. When we do this and we look back at our past and we think, man, I wish I would have done that. I wish I would not have done this. Oh, it would have been so easy to just not have said that. It would have been so easy to just not. You got to realize Mr. Jaku here is going through the worst trauma of his life. And every single day he's thinking through, like, what if I would have just stayed there? But I want to reframe something for you. And the thing I want to reframe for you is regret. Because what we're really experiencing when we think, what if I would have not done this? Or what if I would have done this? Is this idea of regret. I wish I could change it. And so write this down. Write this down and ponder it later. Here's the reframe for you. Regret is doing exactly what you needed to do to become the thing you needed to become. It's doing exactly what you needed to do to become the person you needed to become.
That's big right there.
We got to reframe it and we have to change the meaning, because you think about this series we're having right now and the series we're going to have next week and the week after that. And how many of you honestly would say, like, this already is positively impacting my life? Don't lie to me. Just be honest. If you really think that, then tell me that. And if you don't, then don't. But I can tell you, my study of this man has changed the way I speak about, the way I think about, the way I process setbacks. Had this man stayed in his college, the books would not have been written, the speeches would not have been given, and the story would not have rippled through history to meet us right here. So we have to get over this thing culturally where we just constantly live in regret. You did exactly what you needed to do to become exactly who you were supposed to become. And our mistakes, the future harvest that we experience is the sum total of the mistakes we've used in the past. And if you have no mistakes, you have no lessons. And so each morning, they get to this concentration camp. And each morning, the Nazis do this experiment where they would open the gates. And remember, Eddie's just here for the first time. He's just like, doesn't have a clue what's going on. To him, he's a German citizen. He's very confused. And they would open up. They would let 200 to 300 people go. And once they had made it about 40 meters out of the gates, they would start the machine guns and they would shoot them all. And they would put these people in body bags with a note that said, your husband or son or daughter or whoever tried to escape and they died in the process. This is how the Nazis handled overpopulation. This was their form of population control. And Eddie experiences what Viktor Frankl later starts breaking down, which is the phases of trauma we'll get into next week. But one of the things that, your personality does when you experience trauma is it begins to shut you down to protect you. So it systematically goes through and starts turning off emotions and turning off different senses, because you can't survive in the middle of a traumatic season or situation if you feel everything. Like, you're actually probably doing this right now, actually. Like, when we talk about the fact that they had 300 people go out and shoot him in the back, your brain's just like, whoa, blockade, like, mm-hmm. that's some rough shit. But let's just kind of, like, move on. And so it's a natural, instinctive thing. When someone that you love deeply goes through tremendous pain or they die, because your personality regulates this feeling threshold to keep you alive. And your brain starts shutting different things off. But some people were impervious to this. They didn't have that glitch, or they didn't have that kill switch in their brain that turned it off. And so they would continue to be bothered by this, and it wouldn't go away, and they would try to kill themselves in the camps. And when they did try to kill themselves, the Germans would resuscitate and bandage them up and then punish them for trying to kill themselves, because the point of the concentration camps was labor. And when you committed suicide, you were removing the labor system from the war machine. Eddie tells the story of a Dr. Cohen. Dr. Cohen was a dentist. He was beaten so badly by the Nazis that his stomach actually ruptured. And he was dying every day, couldn't process food. And so he actually paid 50 marks, which is 2 weeks of wages, to get a razor blade smuggled in. And he knew this because he had been in the camps for a while. He knew that if he just tried to kill himself, they would bandage him up, beat him up, and then make him go back to work. So he timed everything. He created this elaborate plan in his head. And there weren't toilets in the camps. There were big ditches, and they would put wood planks over the ditches. And people would just go out, and they would do their business all at the same time. So Dr. Cohen figured, if I actually want a shot at being able to end this, then I need to time it so perfectly that I can get the thing situated, cut whatever artery I need to cut, and then fall into the ditch and mix into the human waste so that the soldiers would be unwilling to go pull him out. And Eddie tells a story that Dr. Cohen was successful and was able to time everything perfectly. But can you imagine the situation that you must be in to time things so perfectly that you cut an artery right at the right time to fall over a pile in a pit filled with human waste so that the soldiers will not pull you out and bandage you up? And can you imagine the situation you have to be in, the trauma you have to be going through, where that is actually superior? There you can see, as I'm like studying, I'm sitting out back studying this, and I'm thinking, like, my wife was right. And I cannot believe that I would compare myself or my life to something. You go through these moments where you realize that the greatest force in the world is the human spirit. The greatest force in the world is the human spirit. It can survive almost anything. And Eddie is taking all of this in, and he's processing this as he goes. And he tells a guard one day that he knows how to fix something, and they find out that he's a mechanical engineer, and he's able to fix medical devices and machines. And so they arrange for him to go off and serve the war efforts, and they actually get his father to come pick him up from the camp. And so they had this actual term, it's called economically indispensable Jew. And so they weren't allowed to kill him at this point once they realized that he had utility. And so his dad actually comes to the camp and he picks him up. They're supposed to take him to a requisition station, but instead they turn around and they head for the border. One thing to add to this, skills can save your life. And this is something that stood out to me when I was studying this, and actually same with Viktor Frankl, and actually any of the accounts that I've looked through. And I don't want to make something that seems like a brash point, but I do want to say this, that the thing that you need to learn, you'll be put into positions where the only way out is the skill set you developed and the perspective that you developed before you were put into that position. So you actually never know when a skill can change the trajectory of your life. You will see this all over the place. People who get good at something and they study something and they work at something, you can alter the course of human history by getting talented. And talent has nothing to do with your natural abilities. Talent has everything to do with how hard you're willing to work to learn something. So I do want to just like point that out. Like, there are people right now who are living beneath their potential because they are lazy or they are unfocused, but you never know when the skill that you're supposed to be developing right now can save your life. Make sense?
Yeah, that's great.
So his father picks him up, and instead of heading for the requisition station, they head to the border. They head for Belgium, and there are complications here, and I don't have time to go into it, and you can read the whole book later. We'll post the notes. I'll post all of my notes from the book for you as part of this this series, and you can read the whole detail. But they end up getting into Belgium, and then Eddie is arrested again, but this time he's arrested for being a German. He's not arrested for being a Jew, he's arrested for being a German, because all of the countries are in lockdown. And it's complicated because the power dynamics keep changing. So the Nazis took over everything around them. Like, if you look back into the beginning of World War II, the most powerful military in the world at the time, anybody know who it is? Want to take a guess? Which country is it? The most powerful country, powerful military, the greatest soldiers, the greatest technology, you know, the equivalent of the United States from 20 to 25 years ago. Who is it? It's France. France is the greatest world power at the time. France defended themselves for the entire World War I. And people have challenged me on this. And they're like, oh, what about Britain? No, it was France. France was basically the support backbone for the First World War. And so, you know, you think about Brazil. Brazil challenges the United States. And the popular mantra of today would be like, why would they do that? Like, it's the United States, right? But then picture if Brazil beats the United States completely and takes over the capital in 2 weeks. That's basically what happened in World War II. Do you guys know, anybody ever watch Batman where he goes up against Bane?
I didn't see it.
Well, Mike, what are you doing with your life?
I know. I'm dropping the ball over here.
Anyways, okay. I'll just tell you guys, since nobody watches movies, I guess. So Batman's Batman, right? And he goes up and he's going to fight Bane. And do you remember how it felt when, like, it's Batman and Bane breaks his back and you're like, wait a minute, what the hell just happened? Because Batman is the hero and the villain just, does he kill Batman? Is Batman dead? Like, this is basically the world stage in World War II. Because France is Batman and Hitler beats him in 30 days. It's over. And so Eddie's family is out here, they're in Belgium. And they get arrested for being German in Belgium, but then the Nazis take over Belgium, and then they have to run. And then they're in France, and then France is taken over. And so the world powers keep shifting. And no matter where he goes, it's just like, oh, it's the Germans have taken over. And he talks about this, though. He talks about the season he was living with his family, and they didn't have anything to eat or anything to drink, and they're prisoners. And then he said, I cherish this time with my whole family together. He said, sometimes I look back, and I think that this was the greatest season of my life. And you think, wow. I can even see Mike's face. He's like, why would he cherish that? Let me tell you why he would cherish that. And then I want some things to pop in for us as we cherish that, or as we think about this. Why would somebody say living in prison with my family is the best time of my life? Because he gets rounded up, his whole family, they get taken to Auschwitz for the first time. It's the first time Eddie sees the iconic sign over, it says work sets you free above the camp. And they get off of the train. And there was a famous doctor named Dr. Joseph. He's the angel of death. He was the one experimenting and really behind the development of the torture chambers and the gas chambers and poison gas and all of those things. And so Dr. Joseph would basically, they'd walk off the train. He would say, you go to the left, you go to the right. And he's organizing people. And so Eddie and his father get off the train, and his father was sent to the left. And Eddie was sent to the right. And so they go a couple steps. But Eddie was like, I want to be with my dad. I don't understand. So he sneaks out of line. He goes and catches up with his dad. But the problem is one of the soldiers that was with Dr. Joseph recognizes Eddie right before he gets onto the train. He says, hey, you were supposed to go to the right. And he asked the soldier, he said, why is my dad going this way? Like, why do I need to go that way? And he says, because your dad is old and he's going to ride, or you're just going to walk. And he's like, okay, that makes sense. He goes back to the right side. 2 days later, he asks an SS officer. He's basically like, where's my father? Like, my father was split up and I cannot find him. And the guy takes him by the hand and they walk a couple of feet in between two buildings. And the officer says, do you see that smoke over there? And Eddie goes, yeah. And he said, that's where your father and your mother are. And this is the gas chambers. And that's how Eddie found out that he was an orphan. It was the first time he found out about his dad. It makes sense in hindsight why he cherished the moments, the last moments he had in prison because of the people that were around him. This is an important thing to lock in for just a second, that life is made beautiful, not because of the houses or the places that we live or the things that we have. Life is made beautiful because of the people that we get to live it with. And so this makes sense in hindsight why he's writing. Like, that was the best time of my life because I got to live with the people that I loved. And so we can't ever take it for granted. We have to think through this perspective, and this series is called How Low Can You Go? And I'm demonstrating that you can go a lot lower than you think you can. And so what if, instead of complaining through all of it, what if we just realize how incredible it is that we get to do life with people that matter to us? There's a lot of other meat in here. And like I said, I'll share the notes. I'll just share two more stories and then we'll get into some lessons. They had to sleep in Auschwitz. They had to sleep outside. They find out that he's a mechanical engineer again. And so once again, he's economically indispensable, which basically just means that all of his friends die. That's all that means, is instead of him dying, all of his friends die because they can't kill him because he's indispensable. But they would sleep outside naked because if they didn't have clothes, they couldn't run away. This was the Nazi idea. It's like, they're not going to run away. It's 10 degrees below zero. And so what they would have to do is they would have to wake up on a predictable clock. If somebody went to go to the bathroom, they would have to come back and they would have to wake up the person on the outside and the person on the inside and have them change places because you would freeze to death. And so they would rotate from the outside to the inside just to survive the night. 10 to 20 people each night died because nobody went to the bathroom and woke them up. And so they just froze to death. He actually gets to the place where he escapes, but he's wearing prison clothes and he's in Poland. And he realizes that he didn't bring a coat and he has no food. And so he just escaped Auschwitz, but he has no way to survive. So he finds a Polish cabin. He knocks on the door and the guy shoots him. So he's like, had this moment where he's like, I am basically a prisoner and the Nazis hate me and the Polish hate me. And the only way he can survive is to sneak back into Auschwitz. So he sneaks back into the concentration camp just so that he doesn't die, freeze to death. This dude's life is crazy. Once he gets into a fight with a soldier, the soldier beats him up, but doesn't realize he's economically indispensable until he sees something that is on one of his tattoos. And so he can't kill him. And so what he does instead to punish them for talking back is he puts him in a cage completely naked. And he's in a cage, the tongue above the ground, and it's in front of everyone. And for 3 days, they make him stand in front of everyone who's passing in front of him. But the cage is lined with needles so that he cannot actually lean over. If he falls asleep, if he sits down, and he would fall asleep and the needles would rip him up and he'd have to stand back up. So for 3 days, he has to walk around all night. And the only way he can sleep is by sitting his back against somebody else's back. He's so in so much pain, he can't even lay down. This guy's life was awful. Awful. Like, there is no comparison on anything. So I'm reading this and I'm just like, yeah, basically I'm a and I need to get my shit together. And Lindsay was right. I'm going to give you some lessons from the end of one of Eddie's talks. And this is where we started bringing the plane back up. And so we can sort of breathe and we, you know, we can move on with our days. He says, happiness doesn't fall from the sky. It is in your own hands. Happiness comes from inside yourself and from the people you love. If you are healthy and happy, you are rich. And how many times do we talk about this? It's not the size of the account. It's not, it, happiness comes from your ability to do what you want to do with the people that you want to do it. He says, with a simple act of kindness, you can save another person from despair, and that might just save their life. The greatest miracle of all is to be kind to another person. This is like rich lessons. The greatest miracle of all is to be kind to another person. This happens all of the time. If you want to have a predictable way for you to feel better, just be kind to a random person that can never pay you back, that you might not even ever see again. And you smile at them, you compliment them, or you pay for their meal. This has a way of re-sparking the human spirit. Yeah. It's a miracle. A field is empty, he says, but if you put in the effort to grow something, then you will have a garden. And life is just like that. What's this mean? You're going to get exactly what you put into it. You're going to get the things that you put into it. You're going to reap a harvest that is an equivalent of the level of investment you put into your life. This happens with clients, Mike. We talk to them all the time. People are like, I'm not happy with this. I'm not happy with that. It's like, well, what are you doing to fix the problem? Nothing. I just show up to a call. Well, that's not enough. Your life is like a field that is empty. But as you put something into it, an effort into growing something, you get a return. Life is the same way. Humans, he says, are creatures of comparison. So I've added my own notes to this. We feel poor or rich or successful or not successful, not by what we want, but by what other people have or don't have. The greatest form of fulfillment, and write these two things down because we're going to end and this will change your life. The greatest forms of fulfillment are, number one, knowing where you came from. And two, that because of that, you can survive anything. Nothing's going to take you down. Nothing's going to ruin your purpose. There's not a force in this world that can actually ruin you. Knowing where you came from, and because of that, that you can survive anything. Here's some homework. Number one, what good things, I'm just going to type them out. What good things can I be supremely grateful for that I'd be devastated if they went away tomorrow? Number two, who do I love and how often can I tell them how much I love them? Number three, where can I demonstrate kindness to another human today? Someone who can never pay me back, but might need it more than I know.